going to do with the story of Christ? I mean, you could reject it.
You could say, you know, are you really going to believe in all the miracles? I mean, anybody could claim to be the Son of God. Anybody could claim, you guys don't believe in me because you don't know God. Anybody can say that. Or you could approach it as if it were a nice story. It's a good story. Jesus is kind of cool. He hangs out with the marginalized of society, and that's cool. We like that. But it's just a nice story. You pick and choose about it what you want. Or you can allow the story to shape you.
Amen.
I would recommend the latter. Please bow with me. Mighty God, Lord and Savior, thank you so much for this day. We are incredibly blessed. Oh, Lord, we want to be shaped by the gospel story, the good news. We want to be shaped by our relationship with you through Jesus Christ. Help us. May your Spirit guide us and help us to understand your truth. Thank you, Almighty God. Pray that you'll be with me at this time, that I'll speak from your word to your glory. May you be glorified. You are our King and our Savior and the seeker of our souls, and we are overwhelmed. Thank you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning we're going to be looking at John chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. John chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. Jesus is talking to his disciples in the final moments of his life. Much of what he has to say is about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Paraclete, the one who comes along beside you, that stoops down and helps you when you've fallen. He just got through telling them that the work of the Holy Spirit among the world is to expose the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. Now he's going to talk about what does the Holy Spirit do among believers. Verse 12. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Some look at this verse and they think, oh, this is a contradiction between 15:15, where Jesus said, you know what? I'm not going to treat you like slaves. I'm going to treat you like friends. And friends tell their friends everything. And now he's saying, well, wait a minute, not everything. There are some things you can't handle. Okay, for what it's worth, I don't think Jesus is contradicting himself, but I think there is a natural tension in the Bible. I think we're supposed to wrestle with that tension. See, what he's saying is, master-slave relationship is, the master says do it, and you do it, you don't get any information. A friend explains. A friend is going to give you enough information, the information you need to do what you're called to do. But in that, there are some things that they are not able to handle. It's too burdensome. So I love the story that Corrie Ten Boom told. When she was a little child and she was traveling with her father, who she called Papa, they were on the train and on their way back, her dad was a watchmaker and he had a lot of tools. And on their way back, they're sitting pretty close to some soldiers and she overhears them talking about sex. And so she turns to her Papa and she says, Papa, what is sex? And he said, Corrie, you're not ready for that. That wasn't really satisfying to her. And so when they got to Harlem, where they lived, he said, Corrie, could you grab my tool bag? And she said, oh, Papa, I can't reach it and it's too heavy for me. And he said, yes, it is. The story you overheard with those soldiers is too heavy for you. And then she got it. See, there are some things that might be too heavy for us. This is the way I believe God works in our lives. The things that we need to know to do what God asks us to do, He will tell us, but there might be some things that are too heavy for us in the moment. And so, isn't it, to me, that's a wonderful thing, because every day as I grow and I learn and I get bigger in my faith, God is sharing more and more, and I'm never at the point where I've got it all. If you think you've reached the point where you understand God, you don't understand God. Amen?
That's right.
I have difficulties with people who tell me that they know everything there is to know about God. I mentioned one time that I don't, you know, that the Godhead's kind of hard to understand, and I had this gentleman pull me aside and he said, "Well, if you need to know about the Godhead, I can tell you about the Godhead." Okay. Man. See, the beautiful thing about God is that every day we can wake up and expect that He's going to show us something new, that maybe today I might have grown enough to experience something new about God.
That's right.
Verse 13. "But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of Mine, and He will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine, therefore I said that He will take of Mine, and will disclose it to you. But when He, the Spirit of truth..." And again, the Jewish people had a concept. There were two spirits that you could listen to. You could listen to the Spirit of truth, or you could listen to the Spirit of deception. Not a bad way to understand things, right? There is the Spirit that will guide you into truth, and there is the Spirit that will guide you into a lie. How do you know which is which? Well, it's really about knowing God, but part of this is what Jesus is going to tell them. This is the Spirit of truth. He will guide you into truth. And I love that. He doesn't drive us into truth. Sometimes we get that mixed up when we're talking to people, right? We want to drive. Because they're not getting it fast enough, or they're not getting it at all, and we want to get out our whips or our cattle prods, and we want to drive them into the truth. Have you noticed that in the Bible we are not called cattle? We're called sheep. Now part of that is because, if I understand it correctly, sheep are pretty dumb animals. I'm sorry if that insults you. But part of that is sheep do not get driven. You have to guide them. That's how the Holy Spirit works in our life. He guides us into all truth. I think that means so much more than working through the written word. And I'm not trying to be controversial here. I believe let's not hinder what God can do in our lives by determining how God can guide us. Because the Bible itself says that God will guide us through His creation. Psalm 19. So God can use any manner, and the Holy Spirit can guide us to all truth using other people. Praise God.
That's right. Amen.
God can use creation. I mean, we saw in the video that sometimes we're more impressed with what people do than with what God has done in creation. Man, I don't agree. Have you ever been to the Grand Canyon? Have you ever been to the Rockies? I know some people are going to go to the Rockies and they're not going to feel the movement of God at all, but I do. I believe the Spirit of God is guiding us to truth as we look at the creation of God.
That's right.
He does not speak on His own initiative. And this is something that Jesus has said about Himself. See, what we need to understand is that the Spirit of truth is not just making up things. The spirit of deception is. The spirit of all lies is. He makes up all kinds of things. His his biggest one, he really doesn't change. He changes how it looks. But the biggest lie is that you can be your own God. He doesn't really change that because we fall for that over and over and over again, right? You can be smart enough. You can figure it out enough. You can do it enough. You can be your own guide. That's the spirit of lies. Spirit of truth does not speak of his own initiative. He doesn't make things up as he goes along. He proclaims truth. And notice what he says. He will disclose. Now that word disclose is important. It's used three times. All these three last verses, 13, 14, 15, it's used. He will declare. He will make a report. But here's what's interesting. Here it says he will declare what is coming. And some again have seen a contradiction, but can we admit that some people are going to find contradictions wherever they find the Bible, right? They look at chapter 14 where Jesus says that the Holy Spirit is going to remind you of my life and my teaching. And they say, oh my goodness, Jesus is contradicting himself. No, he's not. He's saying this is what the Holy Spirit does. And now he's saying this is what the Spirit also does. I mean, really? You have to make things so complicated. See, if I tell you that my wife makes treats up for the students out of YCC, are you going to assume that's all she ever does? No. So when Jesus says, look, this is the Holy Spirit will remind you, we don't assume that's everything that the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit also, now specifically, he's talking to the disciples. He will tell you what's about to happen. Right now, you can't handle it. I almost slipped into my Jack Nicholson voice right there. You can't handle the truth. I don't have a Jack Nicholson voice, but you know. Right now, you're not going to be able to handle this. It's too heavy for you. But the Holy Spirit is going to tell you what's about to take place. Okay, so I think there's some things going on here. Number one, I think this might be referring back to Isaiah 41. And in beginning of verse 22, God is calling all the gods together. And he says, okay, if you're really gods, why don't you take what's happened in the past and translate it for us? That's a Walter paraphrase, by the way. So if you're thumbing over back to, I don't see anybody moving, so never mind. If you're looking back to Isaiah 41, it's not going to say it exactly like that. But he says, if you're really God, you're going to take what's happened in the past and you're going to interpret it so we know how to live today. Okay, so that's chapter 14. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He tells us about the life of Jesus on this world and in the flesh so that we can interpret it today. Okay. See, a prophet didn't always talk about what happens in the future. The first part of Joel is, how do we interpret this locust plague? See, Israel had been plagued by locusts. Now, some would suggest that it was maybe an image of an invasion of an army. Maybe that's possible. Either way, army invasion or locust plague. Joel says, here's what you need to understand. You are being punished by God because you have missed the point of God. So here's how we need to approach this. We need to fast and pray. So he interprets the past so they can know what to do today. And then God also says, oh, and by the way, why don't you tell us what's going to happen in the future? If you're really gods. But not just to tell you what's going to happen in the future, but it's also so that we can know what to do today. See, God doesn't just give us information about the future so we can know information about the future. It's all about how are you going to live today. Okay, so When I talk to people and they talk about the Holy Spirit giving them insight into the future, I never question that unless it's like way off base, right? If somebody tells me the Holy Spirit said that the stock market's going to do this, I am not going to go and, you know, invest in the stock market. Okay? I don't believe that the Spirit of God is about my own personal advancement. Amen? The Spirit of God is going to interpret the things of God so that we can know how to serve God today.
That's right.
So it's not going to be about something that's going to... It's going to be about what I want to happen in my life so I can live comfortably. By the way, can we give up that? God never called us to live comfortably. That's something that Satan tells in this country because we do. God calls us, like we talked about in the class this morning. God calls us out of the boat. The boat's comfortable.
That's right.
Right?
God calls us out of the boat where there's water and it's wet and it's uncomfortable and you might sink. I had this guy that was coming to my Bible study in prison. And you know how some people will use the Spirit of God? Because I think if they say, hey, the Spirit of God told me this, that you're not going to be able to refute it, because how can you refute the Spirit of God? And so he says, you know what the Spirit of God's telling me? And I'm like, okay, here we go. He said, the Spirit of God is telling me that when women are in the presence of men, they need to shut up. I said, no, that's not the Spirit of God, that's your spirit. Yeah. I have no problems refuting that, because I can find that nowhere in the Word of God. Okay, does the Spirit of God give us glimpses into the future?
Sure.
Yes. Yes, He does. Not only did Jesus Christ come and live in the flesh and live and teach and die and go to the cross, He's coming back.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit helps us to interpret that so that we can know how to live today.
Amen.
So when we take the Lord's Supper, we are declaring that Jesus is coming back again, and we believe it.
That's right.
Do we believe it?
Yes.
Amen. Jesus is coming back again. And according to John 14, He's taking us to the Father's house. That passage does not say that He's going to give us a mansion in heaven, by the way. It says He is making a room for us in the house of God. Which I like better. So God is preparing a place for us in His house. Is that going to change how we live today? It does me. See, people have been bringing this up. I love the way Rod put it. Walter's muscles are falling apart. He didn't say that exactly, but that's what I heard. Okay. So here's the story. On Mother's Day, I put Kathleen down and I feel this pop in my shoulder. I'm like, that was not pleasant. So a few days later, I'm working a screwdriver and I feel a pop again. And that was, man, it was really painful then. And then I notice my bicep is clumping. Okay, if I don't have to make a muscle anymore. I just go like this and all of a sudden there's this bulge, which some people might think is kind of cool, but I think it's weird.
Yeah.
So I set up in a doctor's appointment. They can't even see me until a week and a half later, which is normal. You know, you tell them, hey, I think my muscle detached, and they're like, oh, hey, next year, do okay for you? Okay, I was kind of concerned about this, but if you're not concerned, okay. So I do a little bit of research, and I find out that this is not an uncommon thing for old people, which, you know, we all love to hear, right? Old people, their muscles just detach. You could be walking down the road, and all of a sudden, all your muscles come off. Right? I mean, you'd be stuck there. You wouldn't be able to move. And you'd call the doctor. I'm stuck here. My muscle's detached. And they said, how's next year for you? Well, I guess I'm going nowhere. The thing is, I'm not built to last here forever. I need to give up on that dream. I need to stop building mansions here, and I need to live in tents here and prepare for my home that is coming with my Father in heaven.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit helps us to interpret all of that.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit guides us into those truths so that we can know how to live here.
Yeah.
And when the world is going crazy.
Yeah.
Is the world going crazy?
Yeah.
It's been going crazy since creation. Have you noticed?
Yeah.
No.
When the world is just out of control, crazy, and people are hating each other, and they're doing horrible things to each other, I will respond being led by the Holy Spirit, knowing that this is not my home, but I want to do my best to serve my God with what He gives me.
Yeah.
Being led by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So Corey just finished almost a month being in a refugee camp, my son Corey, in Greece. We got to talk to him yesterday. He's now in Paris. And he didn't give us a lot of details, and we didn't ask because we know how that can re-traumatize, but he said it was hard. They're working 9 hours a day for 6 days out of the week. In a place that where these refugees are coming from all different places, and they're clumped together in a facility that was built for 2,500 people that is now housing over 7,000. And the living conditions are deplorable, and they're understaffed, and all of these things are going on, and Corey's feeling like he's not even able to do much, because how could you do much? And so at the end of it, he's worn out. And yes, of course, who wouldn't be? But here's the thing. The Holy Spirit can take what's happened in the past and help us to see what's going on in the future in the life of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God so that we can know what do we do today.
That's right. Yeah.
Praise God.
Yes. Amen.
And He will glorify me.
Yeah.
The job of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Jesus. It's to tell the story of Jesus. He will take what is mine and He will declare it. He will make a report about. And what the Father has is mine, and that's why I tell you that what He takes is mine and He will declare it. The story of Jesus Christ is not just a nice story. It's a story that shapes us and changes us. I love the story that Marcus Barth tells. I don't know if it's true or not. It may just very well be a preacher story. I don't know. You're not. Okay, so you don't understand. Preachers get accused a lot of just making stories up. Okay. All right. Anyway, there's this guy some time ago that was working on the docks. And he's an alcoholic, and he's such an alcoholic that his family is barely existing. I mean, because all of his money is going to alcohol. So they're not eating well, and his wife just has enough. She says, you either need to do something about this or we are going to have to leave because we cannot live like this. So he starts going to AA or something like that, and he gets his life turned around, and he turns his life over to Jesus, and things are just starting to change, and he's there for his family, and people he's working with on the docks, they see a difference. And so they're like, hey, what's going on with you? I mean, you don't go to the bar with us anymore, and what's going on? He says, let me tell you about Jesus Christ. Says, the story changed me. And one of them said, oh, come on, you can't really believe that stuff about Jesus. I mean, are you going to really tell me that Jesus turned water into wine? And the man said, well, I really don't know about that, but in my house, you turn beer into furniture. I don't know if that's a true story, but I like it.
Yeah.
The story of Jesus Christ was intended to change your life.
That's right. Yeah.
And like we talked about in class this morning, not just change your life for an hour on Sunday morning, to change your whole existence. Allow the story of Jesus to shape you and to change you. Allow the Holy Spirit to declare, to make a report to you the things of truth so that you can be led into the truth that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May God bless you. And may the Holy Spirit guide us. And may we allow ourselves to be led. If there's anyone here this morning that needs prayers, before we get there, I want you guys to take a look at your watches. We're ending early. It might be a first. It might be being led by the Holy Spirit. I don't know. I almost feel like I'm not doing my job if we end early. I'm kidding. If you need prayers, we believe that the Spirit of God is at work in this place. And prayer is a powerful thing. If you desire prayers, we invite you to come. We're going to stand. We're going to sing a song. We invite you to come. If you want to know more about our God, if you want to know more about the story that can change your life, we would love to share the story with you. We don't know it all because we're still learning, but we'd love to share the story. Whatever you need, please come as God we stand and sing.